A year after its election, the federal government almost has a climate policy in place. This is after yesterday's announcement that it has won the support of the Palmer United Party and other crossbench senators for its direct action scheme. While the government's been busy defending the details of its deal with Clive Palmer, attention's now turning to how the policy will actually work in practice. According to the architect of the scheme, Environment Minister Greg Hunt, direct action could transform Australia's degraded landscapes. Here's what he had to say on ABC Radio this morning.
The Emissions Reduction Fund works by providing incentives to reduce emissions through practical projects such as are currently occurring under the Carbon Farming Initiative. That could be things such as carbon sinks in the form of reforestation of degraded land, Indigenous land management programs which are occurring in parts of the Northern Territory and other areas in Australia, energy efficiency on a wide and grand scale, practical things which actually reduce emission rather than relying on a tax on electricity and gas.
So that's the Environment Minister Greg Hunt speaking on the ABC's AM program earlier this morning, discussing direct action. So let's find out how the scheme will actually work and what it means for people living in rural Australia. We'll get the view from farmers in just a moment, but first, Andrew Grant is a long-term player in the Australian carbon market and joins me now. Andrew, welcome to the program again.
Good morning, Cameron. Nice to speak to you.
What was your initial reaction to the news that we heard yesterday afternoon that direct action looks set to go ahead?
Oh, look, I think it's extremely positive because it replaces one market with another. So the Carbon Farming Initiative that has bipartisan support provided the rules by which abatement project developers would operate. But ultimately you need a market, and the market up until now, and it has a trailing market, it runs till the end of January, has been the carbon pricing mechanism. That's now been removed, and the current government are replacing that with the Emission Reduction Fund. So project developers previously were selling their credits to liable parties under the carbon price, so energy companies and the like, and now project developers will sell their credits to the government under the emission, or seek to sell them under the Emission Reduction Fund.
So it's fair. Would it be fair to say that the Carbon Farming Initiative really isn't worth the paper it's written on unless you have a market?
Absolutely. There's no need for it. It's a set of rules. It's like a tax system, but tax is a consequence of economic activity. So you need the economy and the economic signals to be there and the demand. So the government now creates the demand, and you bid your projects into the fund, and you've got a new market to sell your credits. And without that market, the industry frankly would have died.
So it looks like there will be a market now if all goes to plan in the Senate today or tonight. But at the heart of direct action is this idea that landholders can create carbon credits. So basically they take carbon out of the atmosphere. What sectors are ready to provide these credits in your view?
Well, the Carbon Farming Initiative has been running for a number of years, and to date it's produced 8 million tonnes of credits thereabout. And the majority of those credits have come from four main activities. Landfill gas, capturing methane from landfill gas, from rotting landfills. That's the lion's share of the credit production. Avoided deforestation, so where farmers had permits to clear land and they've agreed not to clear that land, that's a carbon credit creating activity because that's an emission that otherwise would have occurred. Planting new forests, so-called afforestation or reforestation, which is quite mature in Australia as an industry, and savanna burning, where you change the burning regimes in northern Australia from very hot fires to cooler, milder fires, and it's been a very successful program run by a number of Indigenous communities, the Kimberley Land Council, Indigenous Land Council, and others across the top of Australia. There is a long tail of other project types, but to date they've been the lion's share of the scheme.
Can we talk about the reforestation, or essentially the planting of trees? You were heavily involved in that in the past. During this period of uncertainty around the market, have people walked away from that sector, farmers?
Yes, because in my history I was involved in planting of 30 million trees, and the nature of reforestation is that it's capital intensive. You spend the money up front to build the asset, and then you need to sell the products over a long period of time. So the moment you create uncertainty in that environment that you've got to spend money not knowing whether you're going to get a return, most prudent investment stops. And it's like the renewable energy debate we're having at the moment, that if there's uncertainty about the future of the value of your renewable energy, you'll stop building assets.
Yeah, because you're talking about tree planting purely to sell the carbon credits, not to cut down the timber.
Yeah, that's right. And because when you cut it down, you don't get the carbon credit. So if your purpose of planting the tree is to get a financial return for taking the carbon out of the atmosphere, you need to be certain that you're going to be able to sell your credits, not only this year or next year, but in 5 or 10 years' time, because the payback period could be 10 or 15 years. And curiously, and credit to the government, the Emission Reduction Fund actually creates more certainty than the carbon pricing mechanism, because the government's proposing to enter into long-term contracts, 7 years and possibly longer. And the amendment that Nick Xenophon put forward suggested longer contracting terms to provide greater certainty. And that's a feature that renewable energy market has enjoyed, but the carbon market hasn't. And the Emission Reduction Fund will give a lot more certainty to projects over time.
So if now we're in a situation, or just about in a situation, where a farmer can plant trees on their property and know what income they will generate from those trees for 7 years, or up to a 7 year period, do you expect to see a huge number of trees put in around Australia?
I think you can't take the emotion and the history out of this. And the history and the emotion is there's people that have moved early and have not enjoyed the returns that they'd hoped to get. So I think you're going to see a careful and cautious progress.
Well, we've seen people go bust, haven't we, that banked on this?
Well, not bust as such, but there's people that have made decisions that have not got the returns that they thought were going to get. And, you know, my personal experience is from growth to contraction, where the market died. So people are going to be a little bit wary, and it won't be like hallelujah and rapid escalation. But to give credit where credit's due, it's a positive policy. It's going to make a very strong contribution to the domestic abatement industry, and it will lead to more investment. There's no doubt about that. How much depends upon who's successful and the commercial terms that are on offer. So what kind of term you can get, what kind of price you can get, and whether in fact 7 years is enough to provide the confidence you need to for new investment. So initially what we'll see in the fund is the existing projects bidding their carbon to the fund. How many new investments come, I think the jury's out.
Do you have a feel on whether it will be economically competitive for farmers to grow trees, given that the government wants to find the cheapest way possible with this reverse auction system to get the credits? Will planting trees be able to compete with, say, your landfill gas capture?
Well, the landfill gas capture is mature already, and you're not going to create a new landfill just for the sake of selling carbon credits. So it's really capturing projects that are already operational. And there's a finite number of landfill gas projects. I think the upside is additional land where you're avoiding deforestation. Minister Hunt talks about energy efficiency, and there's massive potential in energy efficiency. But again, we don't know what the rules are, and we don't know how projects would be developed. And I think energy efficiency has the greatest potential of all of the methodologies. We will certainly see new investment in tree planting. And I think you'll see expansion of the savanna burning programs across the north. They're going to be the main activities.
The main ones. You're hearing here from Andrew Grant, board member with the Carbon Market Institute. We're discussing their reaction to the agreement struck between the Coalition and the Palmer United Party yesterday that will effectively, it's expected, we'll see the direct action policy pass through the Senate as early as this evening. Also with me is Bob Davey, who's a carbon farmer at Phillip Island in Victoria. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Cameron. Thanks for having us on.
This is an area you have particular interest in. You run a carbon-neutral cattle farm. What's been your reaction to the news you heard yesterday afternoon?
Actually, I'm fairly disappointed that the sequestration in soils hasn't come up at all. Not that I'm against trees at all. We've planted over 45,000 trees on our property, and we plant 2,000 trees every year. But our carbon is building up more in sequestration in soils, and that's been proven under the Western Port and South Gippsland and Bass Coast Landcare networks, where a study was done and a project, and a great number of farmers were in that, and they've all got carbon credits, and I think a lot of farmers at the moment would be carbon neutral if they were given some assistance in testing their soils. In our own case, we've gone from 129 tonnes to over 200 tonnes of total carbon per hectare on our property. So there's a great way of pulling in CO2 from the atmosphere with legumes and growing crops and increasing your carbon into your soils. And if that was done all over Australia by a number of farmers, that would be the way to go as far as I'm concerned.
So, but why have you stayed committed to this approach during the period of uncertainty that Andrew mentioned, that had seen so many farmers walk away from things like planting trees or trying to capture carbon in their soil?
Look, I wouldn't walk away from it because it's the right thing to do for the environment. I'm reasonably upset at the way the whole thing's been handled and the RET, the renewable energy target. I can't see any sense in anybody trying to do anything to upset free wind and free solar power. And a lot of investment's gone out of the country now because of the uncertainty that's been there to date.
Okay, which is related but a separate policy. Given that we now have some certainty around a carbon market, though,
yes,
do you think you will see, or we Australia will see, more farmers pursuing the types of practices you've put in place and trying to generate an income through capturing carbon on their property?
I would hope so, yes. I would hope so.
Andrew, if I can come back to you, you said that the uncertainty has really killed off a lot of activity in this area. There's still a little bit of uncertainty, isn't there, given the Climate Change Authority Chair Bernie Fraser will now investigate the merits of returning to an emissions trading scheme. How much impact will that have?
Yeah, I think they're complementary, actually, and I think the way the Emission Reduction Fund will work is it'll commit to a forward purchase of a certain amount of abatement. But if you project forward the needs of the country and you look at what Europe's agreed to and what increasingly substantial economies around are agreeing to, they're committing to deeper cuts. And the IPCC reports are unambiguous and unequivocal about the need for deeper cuts. So if you bring it back to first principles, the Emission Reduction Fund is designed to assist Australia to meet its 5% reduction target by 2020. But in itself, it's debatable whether it can be expanded upon to meet a larger cut, and the countries of the world meet in Paris next year to negotiate such subsequent targets. So I think the role of something like an emission trading scheme is complementary and additional and, in fact, more substantial and more powerful. So the politics of that haven't enabled that present, but I think, because there's such common support for the concept, there's an inevitability about it. So I don't see it as an either-or. I see it as this is an interim step and it's useful, but ultimately our economy will have carbon price, and the buyer of the carbon will be more than government.
We're just another step along the progression.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, thank you for joining us. Always
my
good
pleasure
to get your insights. Andrew
Grant,
who's from the Carbon Market Institute, and Bob, great chatting to you as well. All the best. Bob Davey, who's a carbon farmer at Phillip Island, which is in southern Victoria. You're listening to Bush Telegraph.